On this episode of Still Loading.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yeah! Give me a half a pound of salami and a quarter pound of Eye of Newt.
What do we look like? A mega magic shop?
No, you look like a tin can with arms and legs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and it is the finale of the Captain N series. Joining me, of course, before I go into any more diatribes about the importance and the joy I've experienced throughout the series, I gotta, of course, throw it over to my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing today?
It's a bittersweet day.
It
the
is.
The recording of the final Captain N, but no, I'm excited. Captain N.
I am too, man. I'm sad it's coming to an end. I'm really sad it's going to be over, but this is not going to be a mini episode, especially considering the last couple I keep listing as Still Loading mini, and they're like an hour and 20 minutes. And I'm like, so this one is a full-fledged episode for once. We have to. It's the finale of the entire show. It is like something, it's something that's been culminating over the last 2.5 years. We started this in like what, June or something of 2021. I prepped a whole bunch of other stuff for after we talk about the episode, and I realize I probably at the very least should have prepped that when was the official first release date. From what I can see here, the very first Captain N episode came out on May 9th, 2021. So it's been over 2.5 years by the time we finish this. So 2.5 years of Captain N Dex. I can't believe it. I can't believe we've gone this long with this. I would be remiss, though, if I didn't at least shout out some of the awesome people who have joined us on this series. We actually tried to get other guests on, but you know, stuff got in the way, scheduling conflicts and whatnot. But of course, I got a shout out. I believe he was our first guest, right, Dexter? Our very first guest on the Captain N series was Nintendo Power, the art of Nintendo Power himself, Stefan Reese over at Art of NP. Our first guest, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
he joined us for episodes 6 and 7. Episode 6, where everyone got turned into an eggplant, and episode 7, which was 3 men and a dragon or whatever it is. I forget what the title was called. And then joining us for our season 1 finale, because I don't believe anyone else joined us in between Stefan and the finale, but our finale was with our good old buddy Gabe Swore, of Animaniacs fame. He's an awesome animator. He's been in the animation industry for a while, so we were so happy to have him on. And then to kick off season 2, we had one of your friends, and then who became my friend as well, Eric Lappy from the YouTube channel Let's Get, Goemon 047 is his actual YouTube channel, but it's always called Let's Get. Everyone knows him as Let's Get. But yeah, so Eric was on our season 2 kickoff for the first episode for that. And then I believe we had one other guest, if I remember correctly. We had Jala.
Yep, that right? Sounds right.
Jala was our last Jala-chan who joined us for 2 episodes. She was fantastic. Really enjoyed having her on the show, specifically with the Wombat Man episode. That was a lot of fun. So yeah, we got to shout out all of our guests. So Stefan, Gabe. Oh, and I'm sorry, Gabe did return one other time for the Paperboy episode. He did join us a second time for the Paperboy episode. So we could not forget that.
He specifically requested to come back for that one.
Yes. He really wanted to come back for the Paperboy episode, which I found pretty amusing, which shout out to Gabe, man. What an awesome dude. I'm so happy we were able to get him back on the show for that.
And that was a very memorable episode, so I don't blame him.
It was an hour, I still called it a mini, and that episode was an hour and 37 minutes. It's longer than some of my quote unquote mainline episodes, the non-mini episodes. But we are wrapping this up, man. Those are all the guests. Thank you once again to Stefan, to Jala, to Eric, to Gabe. Thank you for bonding with us over Captain N. I was trying to think of some N related pun and nothing really worked out with that one, but don't fret, listeners. Don't fret. We're going to find some other way to include N-rated. Oh gosh, N-related puns. What would be N-rated? Like what movie really rating would that be? Is it like everyone just start with everyone's name just starts with the letter N, like Nancy and Nigel?
I think it's if people get white liquid on their face or things are vaguely shaped like buttholes, that's what gets you an N rating.
And lots of phallic things in the background. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, it's just all it. And the person who gets all the white liquid is always Simon. It's just some dude named Simon. But great. Yeah, so let's dive into this in earnest, Dex. I got a couple other fun things to do for the end of the episode, but let's dive into the actual episode we're talking about today, season 3, episode 7, The Fractured Fantasy of Captain N, which I'll be honest, just to shout it out, something we haven't done in a while. I remember we used to always start like, hey, what's one thing that stuck out to you in this episode? And you know what? Let's start off with that again. We haven't done that in a minute. I was going to say, though, that it's a little bit underwhelming of an episode, in my opinion, but we'll get into all that. But Dexter, as I said at the top, what is one thing that stuck out to you in this episode?
Something that stuck out to me, I think, was my own personal reaction to this episode, which was, oh, cool. I like this evil Kevin aspect. I'm surprised they waited to the last episode to do it. And then I was like, well, no, I think they did evil Kevin with the mirror episode when they had like the mirror versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked that conceit. It actually felt a little bit like there would be some character development happening on this show. And then the second thing I noticed, the second thing I noticed was the end is very much like it starts super fast and it ends super fast.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a symptom of season 3, man. Like the episodes are 10 minutes, so you can only do so much with it. For me, what I noticed was just the talking broom and the witch. The talking broom, I don't understand the design. He's got like this crazy, like Pinocchio-esque nose. He's got jowls on a broom. Like, how does a broom have jowls? But this broom does. Doesn't he talk with like a Brooklyn accent or some shit like that?
Absolutely. I made note of that. I was like, this broomstick is from New York.
And the witch that owns the broom has like a bizarrely square jawline.
Yes. Yeah, I was chuckling at the, I guess it would be the Western take on magic in this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, obviously there's magic in the Final Fantasy series, but it's much more, I don't know, it's not like this.
No,
it's not like traditional, like, because even the, we'll get to it, but even the magic shop guy who gets robbed in the beginning has like a playing card on his hat. To be like, you know, like magic, like a magician, like that's not the magic that's in Final Fantasy. So that and no, like a witch and like Fantasia with the talking, with the moving, you know, broom and everything.
It's like, what if David Blaine actually had magic powers? It's kind of like what they're going for with this.
Yes.
And I take it back. The witch does not have a square jawline. She has a very phallic jaw that looks like just a pair of testes at the bottom of her jaw leading straight up to like a triangle cheekbone. It's wild. Like the witch's design, I don't understand the choice that they made with it. Like I genuinely don't. Anyway, let's dive into it though. We're gonna get to all of this. So the episode begins with the N team in the land of Final Fantasy, as they call it, and they come through a portal and they, you know, through the warp, and they're just kind of exploring around. I forget, do you remember why they even say they're there?
They're visiting the prince.
That's what it, my gosh, thank you. Yes, they were visiting the prince of the Final Fantasy world. Princess Lana was invited, and the whole kind of gimmick of this, I shouldn't say gimmick, but premise of it is that Kevin is jealous of the prince.
Yes. Yeah, they set it up very quickly. Well, the narrator starts by saying, like, this adventure starts with a side of Kevin that we've never seen before or whatever. And it's like kind of foreshadowing. But the first thing is like Kevin shows up and he's like, hey, this place is cool. I'm like, no, this is Kevin. This is the Kevin we know. I understand that they were referring to later, but it made it sound like, get ready. You're about to see a different Kevin. And then he's like the same dopey Kevin that shows up.
I also love, because we haven't really talked about him much throughout this. Maybe I could get him on the main podcast at some point. But Matt Hill, the voice of Kevin, Kevin Keen, Kevin, there's a last one. It's the last one you'll ever hear. Actually, I'll probably do one more before the episode ends. I'll probably yell at Kevin at least one more time. But Kevin is voiced by Matt Hill. Matt Hill is famous for being one of the, I think he is the Ed, like the in Ed and Eddie.
Oh, like the big dopey one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the big dopey one. I'm going to double check on it real quick. But yes, he is in Ed and Eddie. And it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know why it took me so long to realize it. But yeah. Oh yeah. So he's the Ed with the single D, because there's Ed and then Ed with two D's double and then D. Eddie. Double yeah. D.
That's I don't know why I never noticed that.
I know, right? I even noticed it like a while ago and I kept forgetting to bring it up. But yeah, he is Ed from Ed and Eddie. Kind of funny. I bet you there's a way for me to like find a way to reach out to him too. Like I gotta get him on at some point. But in any case, so yeah, Matt Hill is the voice of Kevin, and he comes through the portal and they're looking all around and they see a wizard, which is kind of like what you were describing, who's got like the card on a spring on the top of his hat, like coming out of the top of his hat, like spring loaded. It's really goofy. And his eyes, his pupils are bizarrely dilated.
It's got the ultra hand, like that kind of extension coming out of his hat. Holding the card,
and he thinks that Princess Lana and the N team are helping Astos, the evil wizard of Final Fantasy, the evil Astos, and basically apparently he stole something out of the cart of a random merchant, and so the merchant is just like freaking out, and I just love the whole look of him. He's got elf ears. His at one point in the animation, his eyes aren't looking in the same direction. I'm trying to think of find the exact time frame. It's in the very beginning at like 35 seconds in, and his eyes are, his pupils are completely different sizes. It's so goofy to watch. But dude looks high as fuck. Like his pupils are so big right now.
I'm gonna check it out.
But so they're talking to him. They're trying to figure out why he's so paranoid. You see it?
Yeah.
And then a witch suddenly comes through another portal, flies into Kid Icarus. And when she crashes onto the ground, and this is the witch I was talking about before with the bizarrely like testicle jawline. And she just starts reading. Like Kevin runs over, says, hey, are you okay? And starts, and she gets up and starts reading a list of things that she needs. And then the broom also gets up. And this is what the broom with jowls that I was referring to earlier, and just starts talking to them too. I don't remember what he says. Hold on. I actually have it up. Hold on. What does he say? So I just double checked after hearing the list read off to them. Mega Man goes like, what do we look like? A mega magic shop. And the broom walks up. Like you don't see the broom move either. Like earlier, he just comes into frame and goes, no, you look like a tin can with legs. He kind of got like a Rodney Dangerfield vibe to him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get true. No respect. I can't do any sweeping.
Yes. This is, like I said, this is the, one of the broomsticks from Fantasia made his way into Brooklyn and,
oh, and this is what I've been missing. Oh.
Finally get some respect over here in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, where's a plumber when you need him? And while this is all happening, the evil Astos, who just looks like a fucking nerd with a bowl cut. Like, what an underwhelming design for someone who's supposed to be evil. I mean, you do find out later that it's not like he's like in disguise. He's got like some type of magic hologram on or whatever the fuck. But like he's so, it's so underwhelming, dude. Like he just, it's really boring. His design's super boring, in my opinion. What do you think, though?
I was reeling. I put in here like so many things have happened in like 2 minutes. We have so many different like visual identifiers for magic. We have a magic shop salesman doing card trick type magic. We have a bald witch with testicle chin, a talking broom, and then we've got Friar Tuck here in the background, Astos in disguise, looking like Friar. And what is our frame of reference for all of this? Like, we've got all of these different like time periods, different aspects of magic, like so strange.
And all of this happens in under the first 2 minutes. Like, yes, after you see Astos like creepily peering behind the tree at what happened, we're at a minute and 40 seconds. And in fact, the very next moment is them in the prince's palace talking to the prince, and all of the, I guess, ceramics, plateware, I don't know what you want to call it, like the vase, the cups, the plates. How can I describe this? They're green with like white wiggly stripes, right? I guess not technically stripes, but like wavy lines. But the way it looks, it almost looks like the animation team cut out the spots where all the silver was supposed to be, and then underneath it laid like a green, laid that green design. It looks like they're independent of the rest of the animation, you know?
Yeah, somehow all the stripes line up, even though they're on different objects.
Exactly. It very much seems like they just put like a design underneath the cell, and it just, I don't know, it looks so goofy. And then in like the actual close-ups, it looks normal. But I don't understand the decision of like just having these, like this, the silverware looks awful. Like, is it supposed to be jade or something? Like, who would drink out of a jade cup? I feel like that would be uncomfortable. Like, I feel like that would not feel good on your lips.
Yeah.
Actually, no, maybe
fine. This is very fancy royal flatware if you're from the Emerald City of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's what it is.
That's my explanation.
So Kevin's jealous of the prince, and he leaves, and all of a sudden Astos shows up, and he's like, yes, be jealous. And he hypnotizes him into basically doing whatever he wants. And the whole thing, he's like, you're going to help me overthrow the kingdom. You're going to help me overthrow the prince. And so he like has this sword with a bulbous ball on the handle, on the hilt, at the bottom of the hilt. And or the handle, I guess the hilt is in between the handle and the sword anyway, but the bottom of the handle, and it's like bigger than the hilt of the sword. Yeah. It's huge. And he just starts rubbing it really lovingly.
Yes, he absolutely is.
Rubbing some balls.
A little too uncomfortable.
Well, and the animation of like, so he rubs it and then it starts flashing red. And I love the animation they choose. They do a close up of Astus's face. And at like 2 minutes and 29 seconds, maybe like 28, like you'll see it actually like flashing on screen, but it's just a close up of his face. And it's supposed to be like the ball's still flashing, but since the ball's off screen, you just see the flash on his face. And it's just super weird how close they bring his eyes. Like, his entire face takes up the entirety of the frame that you're viewing at like 2 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yes, I saw that. No, you're absolutely right. It's very uncomfortable. And then we immediately switch to an uncomfortable close up of Kevin as well. Like his mouth.
Just his like jaw.
Yeah.
And it pans up
immediately after this when Kevin's being a jerk because, you know, he's under this hypnosis. This is when I noticed that Simon wasn't there, and that I feel like it was a missed opportunity to have Simon there to add to the dynamic that's happening. Because of course, like Kid Icarus, Mega Man, Lana, they're all going to be like, what's wrong, Kevin? And whereas I feel like Simon would be like, yeah, let's take this prince down a peg, you know, like I feel like it would, Simon would have added an interesting spin to everyone's reactions.
It's a bummer he's not in it, because realistically, most of the end team is here. You have Kid Icarus, you have Mega Man. Is Duke here?
No, there's no Duke, no Game Boy, no Simon.
Ah, oh, man. So we're missing Duke, Game Boy, and Simon. What a way to go. Like, we went out with a whimper, man. We don't even get the full end team on this episode.
Yep.
I mean, it's season three, though. Like, barely. I think the only episode that had pretty much everyone was the Battle of the Baseball Know-It-Alls.
Yeah. There's season three, they're like, you can have three sidekicks for Kevin. Can't have anything more than that. Yeah.
I love how fast, though, he poisons puts the sleep thing on the prince. The dude's talking for like 10 seconds and just passes out into his porridge.
I'm surprised he didn't drown. Like, no one pulls his head out of the porridge.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. You're right. No one bothers picking his head up. He would drown.
Because it definitely splashes when his head goes into the bowl, so there's still liquid in it.
And no one picks it up. Like, that dude would be dead by the time they got back to him. Oh, that poor prince. Oh, my God. So the prince passes out. Kevin starts laughing, and Lana's like, Kevin, why are you laughing? And immediately realizes that he's hypnotized. This isn't like the Kevin that we know. And so they have to go back to the witch or the wizard that they met before to figure it out. But beforehand, Astos shows up, destroys the table with a lightning bolt, and then brings Kevin through a portal to basically travel with him to continue to take out more of the prince's kingdom. I do think Kevin's design in this is a little goofy. Like, he all of a sudden has like gigantic shoes and very thin legs. I don't know if you noticed that in the animation. It's like at 1 minute, or sorry, 3 minutes and 39 seconds. Like, he's almost like he's wearing bell bottoms with giant moon shoes.
Yeah, he's probably been hanging out with Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
Where's my buddy Eric from Unlockables when you need him? Oh, my God.
He needs more chains, some more pouches and belts.
You're right. Maybe, you know what? Captain N did it first.
Oh.
There it is. Final episode, and we bring back the old classic of Captain N doing it first. Predicted Kingdom Hearts and its fashion sense.
Yes.
So the end team is trying to get to the witch. Sorry, and the wizard that you met, like the shopkeeper, the magician that you met earlier, is like, "Oh, I know how to." Like, you don't see any of this. So this all happens on screen, off screen. Excuse me, which is what's odd. The only reason you know that the wizard or whatever, the dude with the card in his hat that we saw at the beginning of the episode, the only reason you know he's even helping them is because after they end up in quicksand, Princess Lana's like, she basically just says, why didn't he tell us the portal we were going through was going to be over quicksand?
Yeah.
She says, why didn't the wizard tell us that the portal's going to be over quicksand or something like that, right?
Yeah, they specifically say that it's the witch's portal. Like, he told us to go through the witch's portal.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't he tell us it was over? And then they're like, it's quicksand. And then I was like, yep. This is where all of our childhood fear came from, of quicksand.
That you just walk out your backyard and just drown in some quicksand.
You never know. That's why you need to carry around Kid Icarus's quiver full of all different kinds of arrows.
And even though, like, it's clearly not sand that they're in, and it's just water.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
because it's just not even like, yeah.
It doesn't even look swampy or thick. It's just water. But the moment they get out of the quicksand, quote unquote quicksand, you see the witch with the testicle chin, and she's shaking her broom at them. And this joke was one of the most bizarre gags I've seen. She's shaking the broom at them, and it's the broom that spoke earlier. So she's shaking it, and then it does a close-up of the end of the broom, and suddenly the broom turns green and its face appears on it. Like, it literally morphs into its own face, and it's like, stop shaking or I'm going to get sick, or something along those lines.
He says, I'm going to toss my bristles or something like that.
That's what it was. Sorry. Oh my God. I'm so dumb. I wrote down that line too, which shakes the broom says, and which shakes the broom. And it says, if you don't stop that, I'm going to toss my bristles.
And then she's like, oh, sorry. And that's it. That was the end of the joke. It wasn't like, yeah.
I didn't hate the joke, though. Like, considering the world that it's in, it's not too bad. But the witch, without asking questions, before anyone can even say anything, she turns Lana to stone. And then we go to a commercial break. Like the if this was in the like when it aired on TV, it actually fades to black to a commercial break. And the moment you get back from the commercial break, she basically recognizes Kid Icarus and Mega Man and goes, oh, okay, and then turns Princess Lana back.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the crazy, like, it was great tension for the commercial break and then immediately melted away with a really dumb reason, like, how they get out of it. Like, oh, yeah, I do recognize you after all.
But such a weird moment, man. I never point
out also that I've got the closed captions on in the background. And I'm going to toss my bristles was captioned as I'm going to boss Mike Whistles.
I'm going to boss Mike Whistles.
Yep. They even capitalized Mike, which was nice.
Oh, so proper noun.
Yeah.
I'm going to boss Mike Whistles. I'm going to boss Mike Whistles. Oh, my gosh. They find out from the witch here, though, that Astos basically stole the magic power that he has, like the magic spell that he's using to do everything.
But she calls him Wheat Toast.
Yeah, she calls him Wheat Toast, and it's the closed caption says Weak Toast, which makes a little more sense.
Yeah,
but,
I like that better.
But she says that the magic crystal was stolen from her by Astos, and so that they have to go to get it back. And of course, because it only has 10 minute runtime, Lana immediately formulates a plan. She goes, great, I know what to do now. Well, we got to go over to the castle, and then you can distract Astos and I can go get the light crystal, and then Kevin will be back to normal, and then we win the day. Yay. And that's it happens in under 30 seconds. Like, as fast as I said it, that's about as fast as Lana said it, but with actually good voice acting, because shout out to Venus Turzo.
Yes. Right.
It cuts to them going to the castle. You see, or not them going to the castle. It cuts to the castle where Astos is. And Kevin is fighting one of Astos's guards, or sparring with him. And I guess it's supposed to train the guards. That's the premise of it.
Yeah. Did that part confuse you? Because when they cut to that, I was like, wait, is Kevin good now? Looks like he's fighting a bad guy. And then, after they, used up all of their action animation budget, Astos is like, you're doing great training my guards. You really are super powerful. Ha 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 ha.
It fooled me too. Yeah. It definitely fooled me too. I thought they were just, I don't know. I thought he had turned good as well. And then you see Princess Lana and Kid Icarus and Mega Man there. And I love this gag. Kid Icarus and Mega Man are doing the old two kids in a trench coat routine.
I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah, so he's got the stubby little arms coming out of his armor.
I didn't even realize the stubby arms. You're right. It's because Kid Icarus' arms are so short, so it's just hands coming out of the shoulder ports.
Yep.
Oh my god, I love that. Oh, it's so stupid. Holy shit. And Mega Man's legs are like, they don't match the rest of the armor.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I love, they show up and they say, hey, I hear you're looking for some help. And he goes, do you have any experience in overthrowing kingdoms? And they go, we were laid off from Mother Brain.
Yeah. At least Mother Brain got a shout out, even if she doesn't show up in this one.
She did. I was so happy to see that, man. I was so happy to see that she appeared, that she at least was here in spirit,
Right. Yeah, but I made note of that all of a sudden, Kid Icarus is able to hide his Icus speech impediment when he's undercover.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Because I was like, it's going to be hilarious that they have him talking and he can't, stop saying Icus, and that's going to give him away. But no, they just trip over each other and kind of fall apart immediately.
Doesn't Astos slap him on the back? Like, hey there, old buddy.
Yeah, it was something like that. But because I was like, oh, it's going to be that he keeps saying Icus and that's going to give him away. I'm like, nope. And when this plan fell apart so quickly, and then, they grab the crystal, but they get trapped by Kevin and the other guards, but one of the other guards is Lana. I was like, okay, show, you fooled me. Like, I did not see that coming, that Lana was going to be one of the guards.
Neither did I. I love how when they're trying to get out, though, you know, Astra swings a sword at him and Mega Man just has a saw blade that comes out of his hand. And I'm like, why haven't you used this in the prior two seasons? Like, that would have been helpful in so many situations. But nope, fucking appears right now. And then you see Kid Icarus flying across the screen with the armor still all over his head. So you just see this, like, red cap. And he can't see where he's fucking flying. And then a sword hits him, and it splits his armor, like, perfectly in half. He grabs the crystal. This part, dude, drove me up a goddamn wall. He grabs the crystal. He goes, here, Mega Man, you take it. Because I guess, I was thinking, like, you know, just pass the, you know, hot potato, try to, you know, spread it out so that way the guys have to chase different people and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, that's a good idea. So he hands Mega Man the crystal, and then he just fucking picks him up and flies with him. Like, what was the point of giving him the crystal? Just fly with it. Mega Man can run out. You get stopped at the door anyway by Kevin. I was so mad, dude. I'm like, why even bother with that moment? Like, why waste the budget on that single scene? You could have just cut and said, like, had, like, Kid Icarus going, hey, Mega Man, follow me. That would have been enough. But no, here, Mega Man, take this crystal. And then he picks up Mega Man and just flies, like, carries him over the room. And they don't even get out from it. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, and the plan works out a little too well, because one of the bat actual guards catches the crystal, but it's only because Mega Man ends up, like, doing the old school bully trip technique, and that guard launches, you know, he loses the crystal, and Lana in disguise is the one who catches it and reveals the Astos's true form.
And it's a giant, like, demon thing. And I love how all the guards also get revealed their true forms as well. And it actually has a montage of, like, after, you know, after Lana does the crystal thing, it actually has another little musical montage.
Yes, I wrote down. I was like, I missed these cheesy montages.
I did too. And I actually kind of enjoyed the music.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was perfectly 80s/early 90s.
No, it kind of reminded me of. It's not like necessarily in terms of the tone, but I guess maybe the beat, it reminded me a bit of, like, Sailor Moon or something like that. I don't know why.
I could see that.
But I love the way they escape is that Kevin's pinned against a wall. A dude with a club swings at him. He just dodges it, and it completely demolishes a hole in the wall, and they run away. And the drawbridge is going up, and Kevin and Lana and Kid Icarus and everyone, Mega Man, are just run up and jump off, and that's how they escape. Like, they don't actually defeat Astos. He's still there. He can still do shit again.
I didn't even think about that.
They don't do anything.
Yeah, they didn't, like, launch him away like they do with, like, Mother Brain or anything. Like,
yep. You know,
Team Rocket style.
Though Kevin is able to use his power pad to get Lana off the top of the drawbridge, Kid Icarus barely can get Mega Man over the moat, and there's, like, alligators or crocodiles going after him. I will say, though, because the very next scene, they're back at the castle, and this is the final scene of the episode. We're coming up to the finale, the final scene of all of Captain N-Dex. I can't believe it. And it makes me super uncomfortable because the very first scene, you see the witch giving the prince, who's now he doesn't have a bowl, so someone clearly did take him out, you know, take him out of his
someone porridge. Who actually cares about him.
She mixes up some type of potion, puts some grass or some shit or whatever in a steaming goblet. But you see her waist. Do you see how they drew her? Her waist is, I swear, the size of a fist. It's got this gold band around it. You can see it clearly at 9 minutes and 56 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just an arm bracelet. So, like, it's pretty much just a pair of boobs on the top and a waist on the bottom. Like, her stomach is non-existent.
That is disturbing design choice.
And you're thinking, like, okay, is it just some weird error? You know, maybe that's just, you know, maybe she's not actually looks, she, maybe she doesn't actually look like that, but just in the close-up, they had a little animation error. Because this show, as you know, isn't, that's something that's more common than you would expect. But no, at 10 minutes on the dot, you see her again, and it's the same pencil-thin waist. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why they went with that design choice at all.
Yeah, that's awkward, for sure.
And then when the witch feeds him the potion, you know, right before Kevin makes a little joke, he's like, oh, he could probably rest longer. Lana glares at him and says, you know, he's like, I'm just kidding, I'm over it, type of thing. And when you see the close-up shot of the witch giving him the potion, it kind of looks like Kevin. Kevin! There we go. Got it in. Doesn't it?
It like, does, yeah.
From the far away shot, it doesn't look like Kevin, but up close it does.
I felt that way a little bit, even when they first met him, that he's definitely very Kevin-ish.
He's definitely very Kevin-ish.
But yeah, that close-up definitely could be confusing as well.
And then the very final scene, dude, after the prince wakes up, you know, the witch gives him the potion and all that good stuff. Princess Lana basically says, are you still jealous? He's like, no way. I learned my lesson. I'm just happy being Captain N. And Lana says, basically, that's what a real prince would do, and gives him a kiss on the cheek. And the series fades to black, and we have finished it. I can't believe it, Dex. I just can't believe it. So anything you want to say quick about the final scenes here that because I kind of just pushed through that real quick. Anything you want to say about that? And then we'll go into final thoughts on the episode.
No, I think it's funny that, you know, I think it's part of the formula, especially with old television shows, like make sure someone learns a lesson by the end. It's like, and how they literally just check it off the list. Kevin, did you learn something? Yes, I did. Oh, good. You've earned a kiss.
I will say one thing, another continuity error. By you saying about learning lessons, it reminded me of this with the Mega Man episode that we did with Gabe, where Mega Man became a real boy.
Yeah.
He talks about his circuits again in this one. I'm like, motherfuck, they didn't. The moment that episode was over, he was back to being a robot. They just lied to us for 2.5 seasons.
I think they did. Or they lied to Mega Man or something.
What if that's really what it was? Nothing actually happened. They're just like, Mega Man, you're a real boy. All right. And then never really actually changed.
Especially according to this certificate we've printed.
Right. Yeah. So final thoughts on the episode, Dex. I'm going to just go first real quick, and I'll give you the final word on the episode. Overall, I think it's one of the weaker in terms of stories of season 3, but I think it has some of the better visual gags of the series, like between the witches and the broom, and then just even some of the jokes about, like, you know, I was laid off by Mother Brain. Like, that's such an easy joke, but it just works so well because you wouldn't expect it in this type of thing. So in general, I actually thought this was a pretty decent episode, despite the story kind of being meh. And the video version I saw of this, the picture quality is awful. I really wish we could find a better version of this. Maybe if we searched, maybe if someone has uploaded a different version and then on the playlist that I found it on, but I just wish it was slightly better audio or video quality. But that's not the episode's fault, you know, that's just what it is, YouTube and whatnot. So yeah, that's all I had for it though. So Dex, final thoughts on the episode.
Yeah, this one was pretty I feel like they showed their hand at the beginning, to reference more playing cards. But as far as like, this is what's going to happen, this is how we're going to solve it. And it's just a matter of just sitting through the 10-minute episode. I think it's actually, yeah, I'm looking at the time codes now. It's the shortest of any episode ever. And it really definitely feels like it. It definitely feels like everything's, all the other ones feel like, even with the short time length, I think we commented a couple of times on how, like, wow, it still feels like everything as far as the formula, the Captain N formula, still happens. It's just all jam-packed. Whereas this was the first one that, like, you could really feel that short length, that you could see where they could have stretched it out, but it was also a pretty shallow episode. And but yeah, I would agree. Everything was kind of shown from the beginning, and even like halfway through when she has her plan and then it just works out. The only surprise was Lana was one of the guards, like, oh, we didn't know that part of the plan. But yeah, everything is just very convenient and works out.
I mean, that's the Captain N stamp of that's the Captain N like trademark, you know, like convenience, like everything conveniently works out. It doesn't make logical sense, but it's convenient sense, I guess.
True. And we did get the shout out to Mother Brain, and I actually didn't mind some of the animation of Kevin training the evil army was pretty good as well. And then the music montage coming back. So there were like these little glimmers of old school Captain N.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And while this is while season three definitely was the weaker of the three seasons, I mean, I'm not surprised. Lower budget, shorter episodes. You didn't get as much of the end team. It still was fine. I still enjoyed season three overall. There's a lot more just holy shit, what the fuck moments in the season. But it's at the same time, it feels like there could have been so much more to it. It's kind of a bummer how it went out, but we did it, dude. We made it through all three seasons over the last 2.5 years, three full seasons of Captain N. So what I want to do, we're going to give our final thoughts on art for the series ourselves, like, you know, at the end of the episode, but we have a couple surprises in store for you listeners. So first off, I'm going to I did put a call out both on the previous Captain N episode and on social media, and to see if anyone had any Captain N memories of either the show or our series or that. Didn't get a lot of responses. That's okay, but we did get two, so I'm going to read them right here. First up is Masked Keaton over on Discord. He wrote, "While listening to your episodes, it brought back many memories. Until that time, I would have said my main memories were the characters and their weird speech quirks, that Tetris Land had square car wheels, and the Wombat Man theme song, and ripping off Donkey Kong's toenail." So he also remembered the toenail thing just as much as us. There was also one issue of the comic that had he just put a thingy, explained to Duke that Samus Aran wasn't evil and didn't steal the thingy. But Duke, being a dog, couldn't explain Samus's innocence to the other. Sadness. Okay, so everyone thought Samus stole something. So that it was Keaton's memories. And the last thing he wrote, I just said, "Thank you for the kind words." And he goes, "It's been a great trip down memory lane with you two. Thanks for the ride." So that was a nice little comment from Mask Keaton. So thanks, Keaton.
Thanks for joining us.
And the second one we got was from Captain Class 87 on Instagram. They wrote, "This show introduced me to Metroid, Mega Man, and Simon Belmont, the Nintendo multiverse." thank you too for writing in. That really means a lot that you enjoyed the Captain N series and you enjoyed our shenanigans with this. But we're not done yet, listeners. We got a couple other things for you. So Dex, I want to get your opinion real quick. Do you want to do the thing we prepped for, or do you want to get some stats first? Should we do stats and then the surprise we prepped for, or the prep first?
That's a good question. I guess these end libs might be more fun to end on, even though I want to do it right now, but I think that's probably more enjoyable as like a
finale right before. Yeah. All right. So yes, listeners, Dexter and I did prepare Mad Lib style versions of Captain N episode descriptions. So the N libs, as we call them. So before we get to that, though, I want to throw some stats to you. I'm going to list to you our top five episodes in terms of download numbers. All right.
Ooh, okay.
Our top five episodes of the show. Most of them actually were from, it's a pretty even split actually in terms of the years that we released the episodes. So number five was season one, episode seven with Stefan Reese. That was number five.
Is that the Dragon Quest one, or was that the one where Kid Icarus wishes to be big?
I believe, you know what? That's a damn good question. I want to say it's the dragon one, because I believe episode six is the one where Kid Icarus wishes to be big. If I remember correctly, I think that was episode six.
Double check. But wishful thinking is episode six, and then three men and a dragon was seven. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So that was that one. The fourth place, it was actually tied in terms of it's kind of funny. Five, four, and three are all tied in terms of downloads, but I'm counting it based off release date, because if, you know, if it had less time to do it, then it's more impressive. So actually in the four spot, I have to switch it up a little bit from what it has listed here on my podcast hosting site, is season 2, episode 8. Which, you know what, I probably should have had these listed up as like what they, like what episode they were, you know, which episode of the show.
I'll help you out here.
The Feud of Fasanadu. Okay, yeah, I'll let you handle that at the, so yeah, at the 5 slot was Three Men and Dragon with Stefan Reese. At the 4 slot was The Feud of Fasanadu, season 2, episode 8. At the number 3 spot, it's a season 3 episode, actually. Wow. It's season 3 episodes 3 and 4, so it was the Return totally tetricized and Return to Castlevania.
Yep.
3 and 4. Then we move on up to episode the number 2 overall one. That was from 2022 in August. It was the August 2022 episode, and that was season 2, episode 2.
Queen of the Apes.
Queen of the Apes. And the that's number when they all one swap
brains, I believe.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. The number one episode in terms of download numbers also came from 2022. It was actually the previous month, right before that, season 2, episode 1 with Eric Lappy.
Hey.
That was the number one episode. And just for funsies, I'm not going to list the bottom 5, but I'll list the bottom one just because I think it's a little amusing. The least popular. Oh, geez. It completely resorted everything. Why did you do that? The least popular episode. Now I got to make sure that it actually did everything the right way. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're good. We're good on the top 5. So the bottom, the least popular episode of our entire series, January 9th, 2022. It was season 1, episode 9.
Nightmare on Mother Brain Street.
Apparently no one loves that one. And, you know, put that in perspective, last month's episode already has more downloads than it. Like, what? That's, yeah, by not a huge margin, but by at least like a decent amount. So
that's crazy. It's kind of, you know, amazing. The funny thing is that episode has probably the most interesting twist of all the episodes, where you actually
Which one
think
was that again? Season...
That's the one where Captain N actually is going home.
Oh yeah, home sweet Metroid or whatever. Sweet Metroid or whatever it was.
Oh no, sorry. That's what that one is. Sorry. Nightmare on Mother Brain Street. That Mother Brain and Dr. Wily plot to trap and the N team in the Nightmare Zone, a world where their worst nightmares become reality. Okay.
Okay. There we go.
And Simon's surrounded by the different Castlevania monsters, I think, isn't that?
Yes, and everyone I remember this now. I remember this now. That's amusing. Yeah, so that was just our top episodes and the bottom episode. But now, Dexter, we already talked about it before. Let's do our Mad Libs, our N Libs, as it were. So like I said, listeners, we came up with this idea where we basically do a Mad Lib style episode description of, like, you know, what you would see an episode description of Captain NB. So we have about 11 to 12 different, I think, Dexter's, yours, the one that you had me fill out, had 12 different spots. For yours, I had 11. So I think it would be fun, though, to list out what the prompts were, you know, like, what did you prompt me to have? What did I prompt you with? So we're going to start off real quick with yours. I have the list that you wanted me to fill out right here. So I had to, here we go. Here's the prompts that Dexter sent me. The first one was an NES game. Second one was an N team member. Or no, sorry, that's the one I sent for Dexter. Hold on.
I was going to say, I sent you a board game, I think.
He wanted me to fill out a board game, a liquid, a 90s video game mascot. So that's 3 so far. The 4th spot, an adjective. 5th, a verb. 6, a penis. I'm going to keep that in. I'm going to keep that. I don't even care. 6 is a piece of furniture, not a penis. Apparently, I still have balls on the brain.
I blame the witch from this episode.
I was like, should I keep that in? Fuck yeah, I'm keeping that in. Are you kidding me? 7, a type of hat. 8, a fashion accessory. 9, a body part. Would have been perfect for what I said earlier. 10, an inanimate object. 11, a plural animal. And 12, a plural noun. Now, the prompts that I sent to Dexter for him to fill out the NLib that I created was he had to come up with an NES game, an N team member number one, an NES game, number two, an N team member, number three, another N team member, 4 is a verb, 5 is an adjective, 6 is a bad guy from Captain N, 7 is a noun, 8 is a verb, 9 is a verb, 10 was an adjective, and 11 was a noun. So those were the prompts that we gave each other. Now we have our full thing here. We have, I took Dexter's answers and plugged them into my prompt that I created, and Dexter took mine. I don't know what we should start with. You know what? I'll start with the one that I wrote, because you said that mine ended up being kind of pretty good. So I'm going to read off yours first that you wrote. All right, you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
So for Dexter's one, like I said, he had to come up with a Nintendo game. I'll read off his answers. He put Bubble Bobble, Game Boy, Duke, Hurdle, Handsome, Dragon Lord, Bucket, Dive, Chomp, Glittery, and Dinosaur Fossil. Now, what I'm going to do is if a verb or a noun needs, like, I'm going to conjugate verbs to have it make sense for what I have written in the prompt. And if I need to put, you know, like an A or the in front of some of the nouns, we'll go with that. But so here it is. In the distant world of Bubble Bobble Land, Captain N, Game Boy, and Duke have been hurtling all day and are handsome. Suddenly, Dragon Lord appears and threatens the end team with a bucket. Will our heroes be able to dive them? Will Kevin ever chomp Princess Lana? Find out on today's adventure, the glittery dinosaur fossil of Captain N, the Game Master. Well done. I was so happy that yours read, "Will Kevin ever chomp Princess Lana?" I was so happy about that.
That is beautiful. I love it. It's laughed, poetry. I cried. Yes.
Poetry in motion, Dex. Poetry in motion. All right. What do you got for me? Read off what I do you want to read off the answers I gave you?
Yeah, I'll read off your answers. I will say that mine is essentially an episode. Like, it's longer than yours, but it's not like a full blown script or anything like that.
No, that's okay. I that's why I wanted to give this with as little rules as possible, because to have a bit of variety. So yeah, go for it. What do we got here? Right.
So Josh's answers were Settlers of Catan, or Catan, depending on your pronunciation. Soap Water, Awesome Possum, Mighty Squinting, Love Seat, Bowler Hat, Coin Purse, Weenus. Weenus on the brain now. It's a good follow-up. Deflated Ball, Roosters, and Shims.
You put a shim underneath the I don't know like if anyone's ever heard of that, but you know how like if a piece of furniture is like not balanced, so you put a shim underneath it?
Yes. It makes the ending of this humorous.
No, all right. Good to know.
Here we go. Here's my Captain N episode, NLib here. At the Palace of Power, the N team are gathered around the television to watch Kevin and Simon compete in a rousing match of video Settlers of Catan. In a last-ditch effort to win, Simon attempts to distract Kevin by whipping the television remote, but instead he connects with Mega Man's glass of soapy water, spilling it all over his own face. The hijinks are interrupted as Awesome Possum calls in on the communicator screen with an urgent message.
Let's hear it.
The mighty orb of power has been stolen, and now nobody can squint ever again. Until it is returned to its rightful place.
No.
Princess Lana leads the team to the proper warp zone, which is located inside of the palace's love seat, which is built in a shape of a butthole. The end team arrives in the game world just in time to find two shady characters carrying the orb of power. The larger of the two culprits has a bulging gut and is wearing a bowler hat, while the smaller one has one single leering eye and a coin purse. As the two culprits try to explain why they have the orb, Duke sniffs them, growls, and bites them on the weenus, causing them to drop
those
the orb.
Poor elbows.
Causing them to drop the orb and revealing their identities as King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. The orb tumbles down a nearby hill and everyone gives chase. Kevin spots a deflated ball and rides it like a jet ski to grab the orb before it falls into a pit filled with ferocious roosters. After successfully returning the orb to its rightful place, Mother Brain watches the N team celebrate on her giant viewing screen, and she curses Captain N and turns King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard into a couple of shims. The end.
Bravo. Bravo. Encore. Dude, you went above and beyond. I love it. I love it. That was fantastic.
I tried to include a lot of the continuing gags that we had throughout the series here.
That was awesome, man. I can't think of a better way to end the episode, you know, and we actually still have a little bit more time, and I want to shout out I want to cover a couple more things before we wrap this up. First off, listeners, don't worry. Dexter and I will be doing another cartoon in the future. What is it? We've talked a little bit about it. We've dabbled with some, you know, the Donkey Kong Country cartoon, that awful CG one. We've thought about Sonic. We've thought about like some of the Pac-Man cartoons from like the, you know, the, what is it, video? I forget what it was, the Super Saturday Supercade and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we have a couple ideas. If you all want to hear, like, have a suggestion or have a series you would like us to cover, please let us know. Feel free to write in, whether, you know, message me on Discord. If you're friends with me on Discord, shoot me an email, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com, or just shout out, you know, send me a message on social media or, you know, Instagram, that kind of stuff. So feel free to shoot me a message there. We will be doing another series at some point based on another cartoon, you know, we chose Captain N initially just because we knew it was a little bit shorter. And even then it took us 2.5 years to do. So the next one we may never finish. Well, who knows, depending on how many episodes there are. We also considered the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, but since we just did a Nintendo property, I wasn't sure if we should go with the most iconic Nintendo property, Mario. So we'll see. If y'all have any suggestions, so we are open to it. Doesn't mean we won't do Super Show next, but we just got to figure it out. You know, we got some time on our hands to figure out. Now what I want to do, Dexter, to wrap up this episode in earnest, is final thoughts on the series, the entire series of Captain N, not our series specifically, but like the show. Like, what are your final thoughts on the show?
Oh man. It's both, you know, what I remember, but also kind of better than I remember as a kid. But I guess, like, I'm trying to think of what I could possibly say to overarch all of this. I would say that, you know, the first season was really solid, and it set up a really fun kind of world and concept. And I feel like season two did a pretty good job of running with that and continuing that momentum. And of course, we lost some steam with season three, but overall, I still think, you know, obviously properties and all that stuff is much more complicated than it was in 1989 and 1990, and 91. But like, I still think this is a concept that would do well today, or if not better. This kind of idea of, I've always loved the idea of all the video games kind of existing in their own universe, their own connected type thing. You could update it with modern, you know, tropes. And I was thinking about it before we recorded today, like, what would I want from a continuation of this? Like, would I want something where it literally continues, especially with the way that this one ended, like maybe it's Lana and Kevin's child that becomes the new Captain N, or would I want completely different character? Like Kevin has served his purpose, went back home kind of thing. And now there's a new problem in Video Land and they've recruited a new kid to kind of pick up the mantle. I feel like I would be okay with either of those scenarios. But yeah, I've always been fascinated with this, like I said, this concept. I would love to work on a series like this. I feel like I've got tons of ideas that I could bring to a concept like this. And the thing that I've done in the past and was I kind of did something very inspired by this back in 2012 for Retroware when they were a website and they weren't a video game publisher like they are now. But having the villains, rather than necessarily being villains from video games, but having these embodiments of like DLC and, you know, unfinished launch games, like the things that kind of plague video games today compared to, you know, compared to actual villains. The comic that I was doing at the time, the Red Ring King was the bad guy in the comic I was working on. And it was kind of a play on the Red Ring of Death from the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
like, having those kinds of things being the villains of Video Land, where they're battling these things that are coming from modern video game issues, I guess you could say. But yeah, this series means a lot to me, and I'm really glad that I was able to experience it together with friends, you know, with you, Josh, and with the guests that we had on, and with all the listeners, you know, providing comments and things like that as well. Like, it's been so much fun going back and revisiting it. And, you know, it's not very often that you get to go back and watch something or re-experience something from your childhood and it's still good. If that makes, that doesn't happen very often. You're like, oh wow, why did I like this, you know, my child brain. So it was nice to kind of validate my childhood enjoyment, and I guess that's probably where I'll leave it off at. It was a really fun ride, and then I can't wait to pick up another series and do it again.
Well, I do have a pitch for you for a Captain N sequel that you, when you were talking about it, it got me thinking.
Yes.
What if, so what if, you know, this happens all off screen here, right? So Kevin is out of Video Land. He's a divorced dad, right? And his daughter, son, whatever, whoever gets cast as the kid, it could be anything. Doesn't, the gender doesn't matter. Gets sucked into Video Land, goes through the ultimate warp zone, and Kevin has to he's forgotten about it because it's been so long. So he has to go back in, and he starts getting, Mega Man appears, and like Mega Man, everyone remembers him, but he doesn't remember them until he sees Princess Lana. So Kevin rekindles his relationship with Lana as they have to go and find his child in Video Land and rescue them. And then he's at the end of it, he's torn. Do I stay in Video Land with the woman I loved, or I go back home with the world I belong to?
Yes, that'd be interesting. And I was wondering if you could clarify is the child he's searching for Lana's, or did they have a falling out?
They had a falling out in my head canon. They would have had a falling out that we don't know about, and that it gets hashed out over the course of the series or the movie or whatever. But that happens all off camera in between the end of this series and the beginning of this next one.
I like it.
So that's my whole thing with it. For myself with Captain N, for the overall series, unlike you, Dex, I didn't have any nostalgia for this at all. I didn't have anything going into it, any preconceived notions other than the fact that it was so bad it's good. I mean, I guess that is a preconceived notion, but that's the only one I really had, and it holds up to that for sure. It is so bad it's good, but I will say getting to watch it was really fun, and getting to experience it see what it was all about was really amusing and entertaining, especially for something like you mentioned before, how it's sometimes you don't get too many chances to go back and re-experience your childhood. Well, a lot, you don't get too many chances to go back and experience something like this again, because like, why would you set aside time to do this on your own? You know, like doing this for the podcast became super fun for me just because A, I got to spend time with you, but B, I got to experience this show in its entirety. Like other than that clip show that we didn't really watch, but other than that, we've experienced the entire show. And for myself over the last 2.5 years, man, like it's been awesome becoming better friends with you. Cause when we first started, we were already pretty like, you know, I would say strong acquaintances for sure. Like definitely friends, but it was like, we were just getting to know each other. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
Like, but now we've been doing this for 2.5 years, and every month, you know, once a month, you and I would get to chat on the microphone about a ridiculous cartoon. My kid now likes Captain N. She periodically will request to watch Captain N because she likes it. She genuinely likes it. I'd be lying if I wasn't a little disappointed sometimes when she chose it, not because of the show itself. And I'm like, man, I wish you would get something educational instead of this. but I can't really complain otherwise. But this series has meant a lot to me. And when we first started it in 2011, my kid was just born. I think I was trying to figure out a way to come back to doing content weekly after becoming a dad for the first time, because I went bi-weekly once my kid was born just to lessen the burden of it. Because at that point in time, I had only been weekly for less than a year. I started going weekly in the summer of 2020. And when my kid was born, I didn't want to like keep doing that because I was still learning the ropes. And when I came up with the idea of mini episodes, I did, you know, the whole history of RTS games, and then Captain N was the other half of that. So every month I didn't have to think about two topics every month. It was the history of RTS or it was Captain N. And I'll be honest, man, without Captain N, now I have to fill an extra slot every month. I actually have to think about what I have to cover for that extra slot, which, you know, once we pick another show and move on to that, we'll do that. But that'll be back again. But it was honestly an honor and a pleasure to do this with you for the last 2.5 years. This was so much fun. I'm so sad it's over. Like, I'm so sad Captain N is done. But I'm still happy because it was just so much fun, and we're going to be doing another one. So it's not over per se. It's just Captain N is over, but Captain N was what kicked it all off. And Captain N really is the thing that solidified our friendship. So I will always be appreciative of the many hours that we've spent discussing Captain N. Dude, if you add this all up, it's easily like over 24 hours of our life we have spent discussing Captain N, if you add up all the different episodes, because each of these episodes are about like 40 minutes to an hour and a half each. You know, like it is a non-insignificant amount of time that we have spent discussing the ins and outs of this fictional universe that Captain N posits.
So someone could make a playlist of our episodes, and they could start it on their flight to Japan and not be over before they get there.
That's very true. You could listen to our entire Captain N run on your way to Japan. So you should do that. Whoever does that first, let me know. I'm not going to do anything. I was going to say, I'll send you a t-shirt, but I don't want to spend the money. I don't. Money's tight right now, Dex. Money's tight right now.
And if you're flying to Japan, you don't need anything.
Exactly. But in speaking of t-shirts, though, as a great way to wrap up this episode, there is a brand new t-shirt out right now. Ooh. It is up on the Still Loading Podcast merch store. It's a TeePublic website. You can get to it either in the show notes, there is always a link for Still Loading merch, or if you go to my website, stillloadingpodcast.com, there is a link to the merch site from there, because I don't remember how to get, like, the TeePublic thing is, you know, like teepublic.com/a whole bunch of numbers and letters, so it's a little bit more convoluted. So you can get the links there is a brand new design by Dexter Morrill, the co-host with the Mo-host himself, for Captain N, and it's inspired by a certain movie poster. So you'll have to, if you can guess what that is, let us know. But
I also collaborated with you on that episode too, discussing that movie.
Yes, you did. You did. if that doesn't give it away. But Dexter, for the final time, on Captain N, at least. Thank you so much for joining me, my friend. This has been a pleasure, an absolute joy, and I can't wait to see what we do next. Thank you for joining me.
I know. It's fun being here in the past and not knowing what we're going to do in the future. But yeah. Yes, it's been awesome. Thank you again for setting this all up.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you for setting aside that this much time. 2.5 years is a big commitment, and we have stuck through it for the entirety of the 2.5 years.
Man, so, let's do more.
Yeah. No, it's going to happen. We just have to pick what it is. So, listeners, like I said, if you have any suggestions, send them over my way. But with all that said, we will think of you the next time we play video games. Thank you.